If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry and I talk about the go-home Monday Night Raw before WWE Stomping Grounds, and we also speak to a future WWE Hall of Famer and politician. Universal Champion Seth Rollins promised on Raw anyone taking the side of Baron Corbin to be the special guest referee would feel the wrath. We'll explain why last night's Raw had us hyped for Stomping Grounds. Plus, one of the most iconic figures in the history of the WWE, future WWE Hall of Famer and current mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, Glenn Jacobs, also known as Kane, joins the show. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. A lot of people saying I've been very negative lately. Negative Dave is what they're calling me. But after a show like we saw last night, it's hard to be negative. Really good job by the WWE. I thought a very good Raw last night, Mark.
Very good show. And the whole structure of the show, all of the I's were dotted, all the T's were crossed. There were a couple of historical significance things that happened in the show that I was very impressed with. There will be no negativity today. This is all love for the WWE. I mean, so many things got put into place. There's an edge being put on Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Braun Strowman is on an unbelievable streak of momentum.
Yep.
Everything storyline-wise was on point last night. Like, it was a good show. Did you see the crowd? That's the biggest thing. You and Bubba talked about it yesterday with the family that called in about taking their kids to the show and how they were going to be excited.
Yep.
The kids were excited, and you kind of got a little condescending. But
I didn't get condescending. There was something that was said that I kind of misinterpreted.
You misinterpreted.
Yes,
and that's okay. We all have our issues.
I'm getting older. My hearing's going.
You're getting older. You're hearing, and we'll get that eight. But the whole crowd was into the show yesterday. Every match that came out, it seemed like there was a progression of the volume being turned up, and that's hard to do over 3 hours. So the programming was good. People were getting what they wanted, and they got to see the kind of action that you needed to see.
And Mark, we talked about it. Bully and I talked about it. My biggest complaint with Monday Night Raw, especially since WrestleMania 35, is the way they've connected the dots, the consistency of the show from week to week and the cohesiveness from week to week always seems to be a problem with Monday Night Raw. And I think they've done a good job last night of connecting those dots and really giving some backstories, which sometimes they fail to do. It really did feel like a momentum shift last night on Monday Night Raw. And it starts with the little things, Mark. Like, and you and I talked about this before we hit the air today. Perfect example of that would be Gallows and Anderson. They talked about, and not only AJ Styles in the back, but Renee Young did a really good job with this on commentary last night, talking about what the past year has been like for Gallows and Anderson. That's something that the WWE neglects to do. There's always that kind of theory when it comes to the WWE that the audience has a short attention span and they have no memory. Mark, you and I know that's completely the opposite, because we talk to the fans every day here on Busted Open. It's just the opposite. We don't have a short attention span, and on top of that, we do have a long memory when it comes to the WWE. And I think they're finally, judging from last night, they're finally acknowledging that fact.
They not only are they acknowledging it, but they put it all into motion with having a traditional match where the local wrestler comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And the Viking Raiders did an unbelievable job of getting themselves over in a situation where that might not have happened like 2 weeks ago. I mean, 3 weeks ago,
agreed,
for sure.
Yep.
So they're doing things that I really was giving them a lot of kudos for, because momentum is a big thing. They did that with Braun Strowman. They realized that he got on such a hot streak last week. Let's keep that going. And that was a footnote that you could tell that they said, we got to do this.
Mark, when you talk about that, and you are so right, if you're going to build momentum, and we made a point of mentioning that on the show last week when it came to Braun Strowman, you have to continue that momentum. A lot of times we'll see momentum and then we'll see it stall. I said it and I tweeted about it yesterday during Monday Night Raw. You can feel just a momentum shift when it comes to Braun Strowman from week to week. You really felt it and saw it last week. And even though in a loss, you felt it again with Braun Strowman. And that's something that you can always go back to, Mark.
Yeah, and Seth Rollins.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Man, we talked about it last week. What sets him aside and makes him the guy? And everybody's consensus was, he's not. But this week, they were like, we're going to sharpen this blade. And it, you talk about an edge that will cut darkness, they put it on him. For him to come out with the chair, the initial thing with Elias, and then go through the whole entire show, it was like Stone Cold coming out and stunning people all night long. It was like Edge when Edge got to the point to where he was in the same place Seth is. He was a tag wrestler, and now all of a sudden he's the guy, and people are like, But after about 2 weeks of him coming out and spearing everybody into oblivion, now you had a sharp edge.
Yep.
No pun intended. And that's what they did with Seth. It was beautiful. And I mean, we got our questions answered. Sometimes you go into a show and all of the answers don't get all the answers. And that answer was, who's going to be the referee? And it was Elias.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Yeah, then they changed. Plans changed, so to speak.
Here's my another referee, EC3. What happened?
Plans changed again.
And then Baron Corbin is having a conversation about Eric Young being a referee. And even just having a conversation got him just beat the living daylights out of. So it was like they kept it going. They told that story. And it was just like there was like three or four other matches in the show that did the same thing. They followed the storyline and all the way to completion. And everybody was happy. You can look in the crowd and see it.
Well, you mentioned Seth Rollins, and we had a long discussion last show, Mark. At least I had the problem with Seth Rollins, that I didn't see him as the guy. He was missing something. And we almost did an entire show trying to, pinpoint, or at least for me, to put my finger on exactly what's missing from Seth Rollins. And the Nation did a great job of either disagreeing with me or agreeing with me and trying to give me the reasons why I just don't look at Seth Rollins as the top guy on Monday Night Raw. And sometimes you don't know the answer until it's right in front of your face. And that's what happened last night. Mm-hmm. And then when I was watching Seth Rollins, I knew exactly what's been missing from Seth Rollins. And you said it a couple of times, edge. That's what was missing from Seth Rollins. Why did I know that? Because I saw it in Seth Rollins last night. If you're going to be the top guy, if you're going to be the guy that grabs your attention, if you're going to be the guy that's going to make you want to tune into Monday Night Raw every Monday, if you're going to be the guy that makes me want to buy a ticket for you to win on a house show or a live event, it's the edge from Seth Rollins that was missing. The reason I know it, because I saw it last night. And I looked at Seth Rollins in a way last night, Mark, that I've never seen from him before.
And the whole entire show was Seth Rollins. You can call it Monday Night Rollins now if you do that. If you can do that every night that he's on, Boom. Now you got your guy. Everybody believes. Everybody knows whose show it is from the beginning all the way through the middle to the ending match. And who did they go out on? Did they go out on Daniel Bryan? They went out on Seth. So that's the point that's being made. Like, okay, you don't think that he's the guy? He don't have the steam that you think he should have? Boom, here you go. Let's put it on him. And they did.
And they did it. And, Mark, it became a point where it's like I couldn't wait for Seth to be on my TV screen. And I've never felt that way about Seth Rollins before. Hey, we've seen from him like we normally see from Seth Rollins, whether it's he's starting the show or ending the show, and there's been a lot of Monday Night Raws where he's done both, where he started it and he ended it. And what I saw from him last night is something that I haven't seen. And again, we talk about momentum. I want to see this built on. What are they going to do to follow this up? Because I don't want to see the Seth Rollins on Sunday or next Monday night that I've seen the last few weeks. I want them to continue, again, connecting the dots, building on momentum, continuity from show to show. I want to see that from Seth Rollins. Because if I see from Seth Rollins on Sunday and Monday what I saw last night, then there's your guy that could be the face of the franchise.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
We saw a different type of Seth Rollins. You know, we've been seeing the burn it down Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins can get a little wordy on the microphone. But as you know, Mark, and you've done this in your career, action speaks louder than words. And I think Seth Rollins proved that fact last night on Monday Night Raw.
You know what? Not only did he prove it, but he delivered such a great performance. And it wasn't out of arrogance. It was out of, you're going to respect me. And if you're going to side with the enemy, this is going to be your consequences. As it was said in one of my favorite movies of all time, there's going to be consequences and repercussions. And last night, just ask Elias, ask EC3, ask Eric Young, ask Baron Corbin, there were consequences and repercussions last night. And all of those guys can attest to it. And at the end, the match that he had with Daniel Bryan proved how great a wrestler he is. But that wasn't the question. We know he's a great wrestler. We know it already. The point that had to be made is he the guy?
Yeah.
And they proved it last night.
And they did it, like, again, with his actions. And as you said, Mark, they followed it up with what a main event match should be. That's a main event on a Monday Night Raw, what we saw with Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan, Mark.
Man, a pay-per-view type match.
Yes.
I mean, everything but the jumping off the top of the cage.
And you know what? It made sense. Here we are going into a pay-per-view. Your Universal Champion is Seth Rollins. He's got a big match with Baron Corbin. And what they did with that main event was beautiful. And sometimes, Mark, you don't get this on a Monday Night Raw. First of all, you get a quality main event. It's not a thrown-together tag match or six-man tag match. You're getting a one-on-one match between two of the best wrestlers in your company.
There's a finish.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. And that's
where there's a definitive finish that gives heat to somebody or puts somebody over.
And I was just going to say that. A lot of times on these matches with Monday Night Raw, especially in the main event, you don't get a finish. And you got a finish. And the best part about it, Mark, the right guy won. A lot of times in these, you know, quote-unquote non-title matches, and let's face it, that should be a non-title match because you're getting the title match on Sunday. So again, continuity and connecting the dots. You're getting a non-title match on Raw in your main event. You're getting Daniel Bryan, who gets the loss where he should be, instead of the other way around where, you know, the challenger is getting the win. Doesn't make sense because he's not the one that's challenging for the title. It's Baron Corbin. Seth Rollins comes out strong, and so does Daniel Bryan, by the way. Daniel Bryan loses nothing in that loss.
Nothing.
But what do you get at the end is the beatdown with Baron Corbin because that's who they got to sell you on. And even though you don't get the special guest referee announcement, that's a little intrigue into what you're going to get on Sunday. I thought that was a really good job because what's the job that they have to do? They got to get you invested in the main event. They did that. They paid off with a great main event. We got that. But at the same time, they got to make you want to tune into the pay-per-view on Sunday, and I thought they did a good job with that last night as well.
They did. I mean, if there was ever a point where tickets wasn't flying off the shelf, last night gave you a reason to go buy one. They did an unbelievable job. I was really, really impressed. And it's hard sometimes to pay the kind of compliments that show needed because it just wasn't delivering.
Mm-hmm.
But the last 2 weeks, we've got back-to-back good shows, and things happened that were textbook. And that's ultimately what we want, continuity, and we want to see what we came to see as wrestling fans. I want to see the bad guy. I want to see the good guy. I want to see somebody persevere through insurmountable odds. I want to see somebody that makes me laugh. I miss the Santinos of the world. I miss the Doink the Clowns. I want to see stuff that makes me happy. But I also want to be so angry and so pissed off that you almost have to call security.
Yeah.
I want you to get me to the brink of, hey, man, what is he doing? I want to be there in my wrestling as my fandom. But, Dave, we haven't gotten it over a few months, and now it just seems like we're getting it.
And, Mark, what you're saying is, you know, again, what's been the foundation of pro wrestling for forever, which is storytelling more than anything else. And that's exactly what you're in not so many words. That's what you're saying. You want stories
right.
that make sense. And coming out of last night, they told you stories that made sense. Now, Alex Metz made a really good point during the break because he's doing our Twitter account at Busted Open Radio, and he's reading some of the tweets, and where people are like upset about like Gallows and Anderson and EC3. Well, not every story is going to get a payoff right away. You want stories to build. You want stories that you want there to be a thread. And when it comes to like Gallows and Anderson, just for the example, because we brought it up before, this is just the beginning of the story, because forever that's been off the grid. That's been off the grid. Now they're actually putting a focus on Gallows and Anderson. Well, you know what? Every story needs a beginning, a middle, and the end. This is just the beginning. You don't want them to give you the beginning, middle, and end, or just jump from the beginning to the end. You got to let a story play out. And you know what, too, Mark? Not every story that they give you is going to play out the way you want it to. Not every story, the end, is going to be what you want it to be.
I can't have what I want.
No, you can't be Batista. You can't be just give me what I want all the time. That's Batista, okay?
Wow.
You gotta let it play out, man. Be patient. Last night, and I'm the
but
most.
But I want it now, Dave.
I'm the most negative son of a bitch on the air. All I've been hearing for the last 2 weeks is how negative I am. I'm Mr. Positivity today because we got a 3-hour show last night that I was actually able to sit through from beginning to end. Actually, you know what happened? Honest to God, Mark, you know what happened last night? I was laying in bed after Monday Night Raw, and I was actually thinking about the show and actually saying, how are they going to follow this up next week, and how are they going to follow up on the pay-per-view? I wasn't at I wasn't the third hour of the show like, go, for God's sakes, let's wrap up the show already so I can go to bed. I was actually thinking about the show when the show was over. That's the goal. That's what you want to do, and that's what they did last night.
Dave, I can tell you this too right now. I can call my wife right now, and she'll attest to this. I tossed and turned last night. I mumbled and woke myself up last night in my sleep because you know I don't like scary movies. And I had a nightmare last night about Bray Wyatt and the Funhouse. Like, that's crazy, man. Like, I love my wrestling, But I don't want it waking me up in the middle of the night.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
You know, we always talk about the stigma around pro wrestling for years and decades even. And those things are going to change. Like, now, what we have with Mayor Glenn Jacobs and, you know, what we had with Jesse Ventura being, you know, Governor Ventura, not only in the world of entertainment, but now in the world of politics when it comes to professional wrestling, Mark.
You know what? I said this before. There's a lot of really, really smart guys in pro wrestling. You have a lot of guys that are college graduates. You have a lot of guys that are educated men. And you have to understand psychology, so you have to understand people. And when you're a mayor, you have to understand the people. And mm-hmm. you have to, like, want to know what people want and what they need and how you can get those services to the people. And that being said, Glenn was always one of the smartest. If you do a consensus of all the guys that wrestled over the last 20 years and they started saying, man, who's the smartest guy, kind of the most withered guy that you've ever been around? I guarantee 90% will say Kane.
Yeah. And that tells you how good he is at what he does in the fact that, look what his character has been for years and years and years, and now what he's able to do. It really is very, very telling, Mark, when you see somebody like him succeed like he did in the ring and now succeeding in the world of politics. And that's somebody who gets something done. That's somebody who's focused, and that's somebody who, when he sets goals, definitely goes out and achieves them.
Yeah, I mean, in the mold of Jesse Ventura, smart, smart man. And experienced mm-hmm. more than anything, like, they're smart people, but they're exposed. They've traveled the world. They know other systems. They know other the way things work in other countries as well as what works here. And they've seen enough that if something was positive somewhere else, they're like, why can't we do that?
Yeah.
You know, like, why do we have to stay in this system that's broken, or it's something that's, there's a better way to do it. And I remember we used to play video games all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a game that every time you saw, you know, Glenn Idol, he was playing this game where you build cities.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He used to play this game. I can't remember. He'll be able to tell us, I guess, when we get him on. But he used to build cities. He had to work with the sanitation. He had to work with the water systems and how to keep the power and all of these different things that were elements to how you run a city. And this was 20 years ago he was playing this game. So I think it was an infectious thing with him that he wanted to help build community and how to keep a city running. And he ended up doing it for real. It's unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy? Think about that. I mean, that's an amazing story, Mark, because, like, you talk about a game, but something that he was completely focused on and he achieved and now is doing what he's doing in the world of politics. I think that's really the measure of a man. And I think that's a wonderful story, Mark.
Yeah, and he'll be able to tell us what the game is, because I'm not people like, damn, what's the name of that game? But it was... you know, it wasn't the Sims. That's kind of like the modern version of mm-hmm. whatever this game was he played. But, I mean, golly, it's requires a lot of thought.
Well,
how many people are in the town? You got to have X amount of garbage men for the trash.
Got to think of those things. And
yeah, it's just like I was like, wow, this is too much for me.
Well,
too much thinking involved.
Well, Mark, you can ask the man himself, because right now joining us live on the line, Mayor Glenn Jacobs. Mr. Mayor, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing great, man. It's great to have you on. What was the name of the game that you used to play?
Sim City.
Was it Sim City?
It was Sim City. Yeah, okay. A little different than The Sims. The Sims is like a family thing. In Sim City, you built your own city. I named mine Glenville. Of course, right?
Glenville.
Paul Bear gave me a hard time. Yeah, Paul Bear gave me a hard time. He's like, you named the city after yourself? I'm like, yeah, it's a game, dude.
Well, I used to watch you play it sometimes, and I would be like, man, it's just too much thinking. But it was you. It fits your personality perfectly. A lot of the guys always refer to you as the smart guy. And it looks good for all of us because we're in association with you. So it's like we get smart just by being around. But is it hard for you to try to help perpetuate how people view you?
Yeah, it is, and I'm sure you go through the same thing, Mark. There is an unfortunate stereotype that people that like us and make a living with our body, big guys that, somehow like the size of your body is, or the size of your brain is inversely correlated to the size of your body. So the bigger you are, the stupider you are, it feels like sometimes people think.
Right.
And that is unfortunate. If you look up and down the roster, man, most everybody went to college, even if they didn't have college degrees. And also just managing what we had to manage as far as, it's not only going out into the ring for 10 or 15 minutes a night, it was travel and, your finances. And of course, since we're independent contractors, we have to, we're responsible and have to keep track of a lot more stuff than, most other people do that are employees. So, that's one of the things that I'm really try to do is to the extent I can is to break that stereotype. And it just amazes me because you have people like people like John Cena and Dwayne Johnson who are out there, Cena's becoming a big movie star, Dwayne's number one movie star in the world, and but there's still this stereotype about professional wrestlers, and I just don't get it. I mean, it's like how much more do people have to do to prove that we're smart too. But I do what I can.
Well, you talk about the stereotype, and you're so right what you and what Mark, for example, have to go through. But even the stigma about pro wrestling, listen, it was a big fight to get this show on the air on Sirius XM because there always seems to be a stigma about pro wrestling. Do you think because of, like you said, the John Cena's of the world, what you've accomplished, Jesse Ventura, The Rock, do you think that finally we've been able to break that mold, so to speak?
I don't know. I really think it's the popularity of wrestling during the, especially WWE, of course, during the Attitude Era, got so many people involved as fans, and now these folks have grown up and are in decision-making positions in many cases, and they're still fans. And I think that's helped tremendously. It's funny because you look at Ric Flair right now, and Ric Flair is. He's made this enormous comeback in pop culture. Rick wrestled, back in the 80s and 90s, and now all of a sudden you see all these professional athletes, and they're all doing Flair shtick because they watched him when they were kids, and now they've grown up, and they're paying homage to him. I think that's more of it, really. I think that also that. WWE being more mainstream entertainment. I mean, for years, of course, professional wrestling was confined to National Guard armories and high school gyms, and that was about it. Now, since WWE is a global company and so large and goes so many places, and have these enormous events, I think that helps as well. So hopefully we have at least to some extent broken the stigma. People are always going to say stuff, of course. But I think that people, for the most part, realize now that, hey, they're entertainers, and they're pretty doggone good entertainers, too.
Glenn, you were talking about globally what we're doing. They just had a big pay-per-view down in Saudi Arabia and where Undertaker and Goldberg had the first maybe and last meeting, and there were people that were very negative about the last 90 seconds of that match for what it was. I don't know if you saw the pay-per-view,
yeah,
but it was I thought it was an unbelievable experience, not just a wrestling match, but an experience. And there was some negativity about the last 90 seconds with the fans. How did you view the match, and how do you feel about the fallout of that last 90 seconds?
Well, I think often people are way too critical and should just enjoy the moment. And that's been my thought for a long time. Unfortunately, as great as social media and our connectivity on the internet is nowadays, there's so much negativity. And that really turns me off. I'm like, gosh, guys, you know, if I want to go get yelled at, I can go do that anywhere, you know. But why would I want to go online and, you know, just see all this stuff? Bill knocked himself out at some point during the match, and you could see that he was just struggling to make it, through the rest of the match. So you kind of have to take that into account, you know, and they went out there and did the best they could under those circumstances. And, you know, that's what Undertaker always does, of course. So it's just one of those things. I mean, I think if you were to ask Bill and Taker, would they like to do it over again? Yeah, but it is what it is. And, you know, instead of being critical about it, people could say, well, I never thought I'd see that match happen, but I did.
You know, you mentioned social media, and I think we're all aware that, you know, it's kind of the voice of the minority, and it's not everyone's perception of what they saw in that match, but people probably feel more comfortable being negative on social media than being positive. What's tougher, dealing with social media in the world of wrestling or dealing with social media in the world of politics?
Wow.
That's a great question.
That's heavy.
You know, but it's really a lot the same, right? Because you're always dealing with people's opinions. And I'll be the first to admit, you know, sometimes I'd say, why is this elected official doing this or that? Or why is the government doing this or that? And then you get in here and you're like, oh, I understand now. So it's not, it's not just, you know, you have that perception from the outside, and it changes once you get on into the inside. It's the same in wrestling. You know, everybody's, you know, take criticism because why'd you do this or that? But then they don't understand what's really going on, you know, and the confines and that you're working within and the components that you're working with. And they're really about the same, man, you know, because you're dealing with sometimes too with people that just, no matter what, they're going to be negative and they're going to be critical. And at some point you can't do anything about it. And you can, as a human being, just say to yourself, I'm doing the best that I can, and I can be proud of that. And if they don't like it, well, they don't like it, and move on.
You know, there's another thing that I wanted to bring up, and you are working with one of my favorite people and one of the people that, you know, helped train me, Dr. Tom Pritchard. You are also giving back in the sense that you are teaching with all the knowledge that you attained all these years. And can you tell us more about the school?
Sure. Tom and I started a school called the Jacobs Pritchard Wrestling Academy. It's here in Knoxville. We've had two classes so far. And what we do, Tom's the main trainer, of course. And to me, Tom's the best trainer in the world. So he's really in his element. But it's a 12-week course. People come down and train for 12 weeks and learn to do the moves and do promos and figure out their character. We have a young man from India in this class. So it literally it's already gone global after only being in operation for about 6 or 7 months. But, you know, the thing about training to be a professional wrestler is anyone can set up a ring and anyone can rely on it. But it takes someone like Tom Pritchard, who actually knows what they're doing, who knows how to do things safely, how to do things in a high quality manner, and when and why to do things, and can articulate and explain that to you. That's what's going to make you a success. You know, not just going up and just saying, hey, I know how to fall down on my back. I'm a professional wrestler now.
As you know, Tom was my first coach and my first trainer. And the WWE employed him, or WWF at the time, employed him to be the in-house coach. He was transitioning out of wrestling and becoming a trainer. And I was not the best student to work with, I must say. But I did get a lot from Tom. Tom was like, you really need to know how to do all of this, not for your own good, but for the good of the person that you're touching hands with. He was like, you know, do it. If you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for them. And he made it a connection with the person across the ring that I never thought of at that time. And he's just a brilliant psychologist of how, when, and why. And a lot of times as students of anything, sometimes you don't want to ask a lot of questions because you're in a hurry to get to your next thing. And Tom was like, I always want you to ask me why. Please. Like, if you don't ask me a why question, I'm going to feel like you think you know everything. And in wrestling, there's nobody that knows everything. And that is really good that you have him as, you know, your main trainer, because right there with Rip Rogers, I think, and Leo Burke, those are the best three that I've ever had. And yep. I hope that if y'all ever need somebody to come down, you can call me. You know, I'll be there in a heartbeat.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. Thank you so much. But yeah, I can't speak highly enough of Tom and his teaching ability and his knowledge. And I know that the first class that went through, they really enjoyed it and they learned a lot. And this class is as well. We look forward to many more. And I might take you up on that offer too.
Last question for me, because listen, you're a mayor and you're a very busy man. So what's it like for, I know you're a part of the authority, so you're probably used to putting on a suit and tie, but what's it like now after all those years of the travel and the wear and tear of having to get on planes and buses? What's it like having a gig where, you know what, you're close to home and, you know, it's a short commute to get to work. What's that like for you?
Mark, I think Mark could say the same thing. And I spent my life trying to stay out of a suit, and here I am. It didn't matter, you know. So that's just the way things turn out. But this is a wonderful job. I think that anyone that gets into elected office will tell you that being mayor is the best office you can hold, because you are close to folks. You know, I mean, you still know your constituency, and you're able to get things done. When you know if you become a congressman or U.S. senator or even a state rep or a governor, you know, you don't have that connection, and you also don't have the ability to really get things done like I have the ability to do, because I can set an agenda and literally, you know, see it come about. Can't do that if you're in Congress. You can't do that if you're in the state house. And that's very gratifying. And also, you know, to some extent, you're the face of the community. And ours is a great community. So I've met so many wonderful people. I see so many people here that are doing great things for the community. Business people that are doing great things, creating jobs, creating wealth for people. So it really is just outstanding. And yes, it's about a 20-minute drive from my house, and that's a good thing.
Mr. Mayor, we've talked about wrestling, we talked about your position, but we haven't talked about policy. What is your policy on, like, the homeless and what y'all do in the community for your homeless?
Well, what we're trying to do is we're working with churches, forming a network to help with that. You know, something else that's very disturbing to me is statistically across the country, about a quarter of the homeless are veterans. And it just boggles my mind that to think that, you know, when people serve our country, you drive down the road, you know, here in Knoxville, you know, it's, we have a place that, you know, it's known for homelessness, and it's under the bridge, and you drive under the bridge, and 1/4 of those people probably serve the country. So that's really disheartening to me. And, you know, we're working on really reaching out to those folks and linking them up with services that they can utilize. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, they did something which is really fascinating, and we're looking to implement that here too. Is basically they started a work program where they had a van go out and basically go to, you know, the homeless shelters and take them and go pick up trash or do beautification projects around the city as day laborers to get people that sense of doing something, that sense of pride. You know, when people are homeless, it's not like they can just snap their fingers and fix everything. I mean, a lot of cases, they don't have any family connections. Of course, they don't have any money. They may not even have a driver's license. But it's hard to get to work if you don't have a car and you don't have a driver's license. So that's something else you look at is just, you know, how can you provide people with the ability to access those services that they need. And of course you look at homelessness, and I think that mental health and the drug problem are huge contributors. I mean, I don't think that, I know that. And that's something else that we're, you know, working on is trying to get to the root of all that. You know, the drug issue across the country, of course, is it's bad. It's getting worse. It's particularly bad here. You know, and again, it's not something that we can just snap our fingers and solve, but we are working on it. And same with mental health. I mean, unfortunately, that's something that the state handles to a great extent. But I think those two are linked. And, you know, things like criminal justice reform and figuring out, you know, when people come out of jail, a pathway to where they just don't go back on the streets, where, you know, they can have a viable skill and can get employment. I think all those things help. They're not going to solve the entire problem, but I think they do make a dent in it.
Well, I really appreciate, you know, your time. I also, I'm doing this thing called Boots on the Ground, a day of service. And
that's great.
Just like the bridge in Knoxville, we have a bridge overpass here in downtown Austin. And this week on Father's Day, we went down, we gave free haircuts and shaves, gave out some kits for sanitary purposes and hygiene kits. And we gave a lot of water. And I was out there for 3 hours, and I was dripping with sweat. I can't imagine being in that situation for 24 hours a day, every day, every day, every day. Dealing with the homeless shelters, which, you know, we've given money to in years past, there's a lot of rules and regulations. And when you go to the homeless shelters and you can't abide by the rules, you can't get the services. So the people that are under the bridge, you know, those are the ones in the overpass. Those are the ones that I wanted to serve, because some of them are mentally ill or drug abusers. But they're still people, and they still need help, and they still need services. And we wanted to go put people in the way to help those people. And I would be honored to be able to work with, you know, y'all's local urban league or any community. I have some already existing sponsors that are willing to throw money at it, but I would be more than happy to come to Knoxville and go under that overpass or the bridge and try to help as many of those people as I can. I don't expect what I've done to stop being done, but I just want more people to think about how other people are viewed and how, what situations they're in. So I'm there for wrestling, but I'll also be there for helping in that situation.
Man, I appreciate that. And I also, that's what it's all about, is all of us helping each other, you know, as a community. And I appreciate you doing that, because that shows – it sets an example, right? And there are so many things that, as a community, that we can, and again, we can't necessarily solve, but we can certainly make a dent in things. And I think the most important thing is we could show people that we love them and that they are human beings and deserving of dignity, you know, and all those things. So I appreciate you doing that, man.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.